Well, good morning. Happy Tuesday morning. Today we are still in John 18. We had left off yesterday that Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we've gone through the trials by the Jewish leaders, the head Sanhedrin, and the high priest, Caiaphas. And now they're going to be turning it over. At that time frame, Jews weren't allowed to actually try to death anyone. For a capital crime, have them killed. Only the Romans could. So they had to get the Romans on board to at least be able to do what they really wanted to do, which was to eliminate Jesus, because they thought they were eliminating a person who was causing issues. But of course, as I've heard other pastors say, that it's not an achievement, but this was an achievement of God from the beginning, that somebody had to pay for the sins of the world. And that it had to be somebody who was perfect and sinless. So of course, we know Jesus is that person. So I like to think that what's coming up in the next few days here, prophetically, which happened actually about 30 AD, about 1990 years ago, was actually an achievement, not a tragedy. Tragedy was that we needed it in the first place, but that the goal was actually achieved. So where we are today, we just left Caiaphas' house in Sanhedrin. That's number five here on a little map. And they're going to be taking them over to Pilate's place. And also this is probably where he was kept in jail until the next morning when was seen by Pilate. It could have been continuous. We know that he was picked up in the garden at night, and that most of these other trials happened during the night, and that we get some indication that the trials with the Jewish authorities actually started very, very early in the morning. So here we are at about the number six on this little map. Now we're going to go over to seven at to Herod's house. That's what we're going to deal with today in John chapter 18. But first, we're going to talk about something that was going on during that time. I kind of broke it up a little bit into the trials. But we also have that unfortunate denial by Simon Peter, who later on in John gets reprieved, but he feels pretty guilty about it. I think it's an important lesson that we realize that the human soul has got weaknesses, and that sometimes when we're tried under fire, that we fail. But know that even during our failures, that the Lord is looking out for us, and that we can always repent. So I'll start off here and. John 18:15 is about where we left off, and again, I'm going to be reviewing it in all four Gospels. This basic time frame is in all four Gospels, so I'm basing it on John, but wherever I find something of interest in the other Gospels, I include it. So, start reading, and Simon Peter, oh, let me start with a prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time to look into your word and to take a look at events surrounding the most glorious day, not necessarily the beginning of it, but the end of it, this week. And here we are, Lord, thinking about those times that you put your life on the line and that you loved us so much that you gave your life for us. I want to thank you and I praise you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, and Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Whenever you see that, it's usually typically John. He's the one penning this. And so when you see references like that, it usually means John. But in this case, I think it's actually Judas, because it indicates it's Judas goes into the high priest and becomes part of the witness against him. And so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without, then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest. Again, that was Judas. And at this point is about the time that that incident that happened inside was probably something that's talked about in one of the other gospels, where Peter realizes, I mean, where Luke, I mean, Judas realizes his mistake, and he leaves and ends up committing suicide. Continuing in verse 16 here, and spake unto her that kept the door and brought in Peter. Then said the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also this man's disciples? He says, I am not. Then I will first. And the prison officers stood there who had made a full of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Now we're going to jump down to verse 25. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself, and they said therefore unto him, art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. Is strike number two. And one of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, did not I see thee in the garden with him? And Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Now that's the message in John, and now we're going to flip over to Matthew, starting at 26:58. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went and sat with the servants to see the end. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and the damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said, that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I did not know the man. Very strong denial there. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and answer, saying, I know not the man, and immediately the cock crew. We'll get done with this story. I got a little interesting little thing to show you about him being a Galilean. Was just checking to see if it was, I had put it, did it out to the Luke account. So continuing in the Matthew 74, that began him to curse on the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. I'm sure he did. In one of the accounts, you'll see that that Jesus actually saw him deny him. And Peter followed, and now we're in the And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And the maid saw him again and began to say to him, them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after that, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, from Thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. And he began to curse and swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. And the second time called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought therein, he wept. And last but not least, but Luke then took them and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. When they had kindled the fire in the midst of the hall and were set down, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat at the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, This man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, not after, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him. He is a Galilean. I found this cute little story in Judges that I thought I would bring up. It kind of reflects how our accents can give us away. It's in Judges 12:6. And here, I guess there was a battle going on. And the Gileadites took the passages of Jordan before the Ephraimites. And it was so that when those Ephraimites which were escaped said, Let me go over, that the men of Gilead said unto him, Art thou an Ephraimite? If he said, Nay, then said they unto him, Say now, Shaboleth. And he said, Siboleth. For he could not frame to pronounce it right. And they took him and slew him at the passages of the Jordan. And there fell at the time of the Ephraimites 42,000. So here they identified the Ephraimites because for some reason they could not pronounce that word. And I find that fascinating. It's actually a technique that was actually used when I was in the military. That recognition of somebody's voice was a confirmation, if you knew the person, whether or not they were allowed to be in a certain place. And that's true today. It's one of the ways, either by an ID, or if you know the person, then you can let them pass without verifying his ID. And I was a guard. But it also reminds me of the fact that I'm from New England. And even though I've lived in Arizona since 1998, 23 years now. Yeah, this month, 23 years. And I've been back to Rhode Island twice in that time, but people will still say, Where are you from? And they tell right away from my accent where I'm from. So it is a dead giveaway. So there is the denials by Peter, and the great part of this is that at the end of John, after resurrection, he'll get to redeem himself, and we all know that Peter went on to be a quite the evangelist and devout follower of Jesus. He was actually martyred in his death. Some say he was hung upside down. They tried to crucify him, and it, he actually said, I didn't want to be crucified that way. And so, like his Lord was, so he wanted to be turned upside down. But continuing on, we're going to go into the first trial of Pilate. And it's kind of in three phases. Pilate's going to kind of interview him first, and then he's going to realize that that Jesus is a Galilean, and so which is actually Herod's territory. So he tries to get out from under having to pronounce death on him, and sends him over to Herod. So we pick that up in Luke. I guess I didn't finish the Luke account. Let me finish off Peter's Luke account here. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crowed. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. This is the one where the Lord actually heard him deny him. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter wept out and wept bitterly. Can you imagine that scene? That must have been tough on both of them, actually. Well, Jesus knew it was going to happen. And again, he has foreknowledge, just like God does, because he is God. I sometimes wonder how much he really knew, though, leading up to this point. So I sometimes think because he was a man, and that he was isolated to one spot at a time, that that maybe he didn't have full knowledge like God did, because God is omnipresent, the Father. And that some of those prayer sessions that Jesus went and prayed to speak with the Father was actually more of like a staff meeting between the different parts of God to get a briefing as to what's coming up. Don't know. Not super important. And we know that Jesus is God, so that something I think about once in a while. So anyway, now to the trials. Now we'll pick it up in John 18:28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. I tried to figure out, for some reason, going into a Gentile place. The only place I can think of is once when Peter said that, that he wasn't allowed to be with Gentiles. It's over in Acts. Just thought of it just now as I was thinking about it. Maybe tomorrow I'll try to find that verse and point it out. But that for a Jew to eat with a Gentile meant he was defiled, and that could be what they're referring to here. I found some in Leviticus, but it didn't seem to fit this verse very well. But either way, the actual high priest and the other Jews did not go into the judgment hall for some reason, so they would defile them, and they couldn't have eaten the Passover. And verse 29, Pilate then went out unto them and said, "What accusation bring you against this man?" And they answered and said unto him, "If he were not a malefactor, we would not him unto thee." And said Pilate unto them, "Take ye him and judge him according to your law." The Jews therefore said unto him, "It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die." And Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered him, saying, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it to thee of me?" And Pilate answers, "I am a Jew." Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Then thine own nation, the chief priests, delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." And Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" And Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Great passage right there. Like the good shepherd, we always know when we hear his voice. And Pilate said unto him, "What is truth?" When he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, "I find in him no fault at all." I love this part because because they're not willing to come inside. Pilate's got to go back and forth between the two to get his answered. And Pilate is basically like the governor of Jerusalem. So we're also going to look at this in Matthew, or look at it in all four Gospels. But start with Matthew 27:2, and when they had bound him and led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor, and jumping up to verse 11. Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, excuse me, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. And said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? In other words, Pilate, Jesus can hear them outside, probably listing all kinds of things of why. And we'll get to that in a minute. We'll pick that up in Luke. And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. And we'll go on to Mark 15:1. And straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered and said unto him, thou sayest it. Because he basically just kind of agreeing with the statement, not disagreeing with it. And we know that God cannot lie. So so I believe also that, as an extension of that, Jesus can't lie either. And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee? But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Matthew and Mark are similar. Now again, the Luke starts in 23:1. The whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation. Here we find out what they're actually saying out there. We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ the King. Oh, we know that's untrue about giving tribute to Caesar. Remember the fish story where Jesus sends one of the disciples to go, I think it was Peter, to go get a coin, go catch a fish, and the fish will have a coin in his mouth, and give that coin to Caesar, the tax collector. And Pilate asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, thou sayest it. And said Pilate to the chief priest and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fear, saying, he stirreth up the people, teaching them about jewelry, being from Galilee to this place. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, there he is, a typical political leader. He's going to pawn it off on somebody else. He sent him to Herod, who himself was also at Jerusalem at the time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he was desirous to see him, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Herod's just curious, though. He's not really into it. And then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, but before they were at enmity between themselves. I guess one silver lining of this whole scenario. I'm going to stop there for now. He's going to head back to Herod. Let me just finish off the last two verses of John. And he comes back to Pilate. And this is the last two verses of chapter 18. But we're going to continue Pilate's, because Pilate goes well into chapter 19 also. So we're going to, this actually starts the part back with Pilate. I'll just finish off this chapter 10 today. And verse 39, but you have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? This is Pilate talking to the Jews. And this is the famous quote that we hear quite a bit during that time of the year. Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber. So I'll end at that point. And I'm going to go. So he's back at Pilate, and Pilate pretty much occupies a lot of what happens in John 19. And actually, he's right into the crucifixion. So we'll end there for today. And I will. Close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time to look into your word, and that we can see that, try to see the differences, maybe get something new and important to apply to our lives for this time frame as we go forward. And that you can help point out things that you may want us to see. I thank you so much. And I pray for everyone today that they have a great day, and that, those out there that are having illness issues, that they will get healed, and that you'll be with them and give them comfort in their pains. I also think of Pastor Sicolius and his family as they get ready to travel out this way for the weekend, and they be with them also, and that give them comfort, and that things all go smoothly. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Yes, so that's all I had for today. And we'll pick up. So we're basically on what I would consider Thursday morning. And that, and so today's the day that, that our sins will be paid for. And tomorrow, when we review the rest of John 19 as we head into the crucifixion. So, on that note, I will talk to you tomorrow.